Paul, what kind of wisdom do you have to impart on your team coming into a Game 7?
I think we've long established that's not going to happen. Wisdom. Talk about your Game 7 experiences. They're always the most memorable games and the most exciting. So, yeah, we talk about it a little bit. Talk about our hockey game, things like that.
Is it any different in terms of how you prepare for this one, trying to manage the expectation, the spectacle?
There's absolutely a different feel to them, right? Because it's the final game for one team. So there's lots of emotion, lots of excitement, but there's definitely a calmness to it, right? There's a finality coming. So it brings out the best, I think.
Matthew Perreault recalls being 1-3 in Game 7s for him. What's your experience from Game 7s?
The National League 2-0 on the road. Won it, tied it with the tender out, and won it in regulation about 30 seconds later, and won one in overtime.
We talk a lot about the pressure on players. You've pushed some right buttons in this series, switching wingers, got a spark out of your team at times. How much pressure is there on you to come up with a winning combination?
It's all on me, man. It's tremendous. I think part of the being in the line of work is probably the best part of the job, right? You don't always enjoy it, but that, sure, I guess pressure's the word. For me, it's always been juice that you get out. It's that feeling that's there all day. But Game 7, I can feel it starting now, right? It is the best part of the job. So I'm looking forward to it. The more your team is focused on an event, right, the more I think you feel like you've done your job. So the regular season is 82. There's a big picture to it. There's a long term. The playoff series get tighter, but there's still a next game in a lot of ways, that feeling. But the Game 7 is a different animal, and everything is focused on that. So they're the most fun.
How much of a factor does youth and experience play in Game 7, do you think?
Well, it can be a huge benefit too, right? You go out there excited. That's the one truth, right? The only way to get experience is to live it. So we have not a lot at all. But we're going to have a whole lot more by the end of that game.
Paul, speaking of experience, what does Nick Ehlers have to do to get going this series?
There's a lot of pieces to a hockey game, and young guys come in as offensive guys. They feel that that's the thing they're bringing every night. And for shooters, in some ways it is. It's right, maybe a real important thing. And then when it's not there, you're carrying a whole different set of pressures, and you stop thinking about anything but scoring. So the rest of your game has a tendency to slide a little bit. He's got to get back to relaxing in terms of his expectations of every time he touches the puck, something's going to happen. In playoffs, that rarely happens. And then focusing that kind of extra energy in other areas of the game is first would be just his feet, right? Get to that blinding speed that he has. And if that's on the forecheck, make it on the forecheck. If it's without the puck, fine. Run your routes faster and faster and faster, and the game will actually slow down for you, and all those good things will come out.
Can we go back to that juice that you were saying that you feel when you said you were starting to feel it already for Thursday? When you get that, what are you feeling? Like, what's your emotion like?
Well, it's probably not different than your hockey team, right? You're solely focused kind of on that next day. And I don't know, 3 days before Christmas, 2 days before Christmas, right? It's not there. It's not Christmas Eve, but you know it's coming. So and maybe it happens when you get older, right? Things that are really fun in the year, you look more and more forward to. So this would be one of those things for me, right? A Game 7's... It's a whole lot of excitement. It's a whole lot of fun. Tremendous amount of focus. You're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking about, you know, am I benching that guy? Am I, you know, let's see what we got.
Can you put your finger on why home ice has not been an advantage to either team in this series?
No, I can't. Other than it turned on 8:30 games. So what's the big change that happened to this series, right? 8:30 games. We've had two, they've had one. We don't play them all year, right? It's not a half hour start difference. It's not a time. It's not a go from a 7 to a 6. We all handle those. I don't think the quality of hockey in some ways in the last 3 has been as good for both teams. Maybe. It's not a complaint.
So does that mean that with a 7 o'clock start, it goes back to regular home ice advantage?
It should be a good – well, no, we won the first one at a reasonable time. They won one at a reasonable time. So, no, it's just I think you're going to see a good game, a really, really sharp game.
Paul, you played 11 games against this team this year. It's so close between them. I don't know what would happen if you played another 10. No team has won 2 in a row. All the numbers are so close. What makes the difference on a stage like Thursday when there's so little to choose for between these two teams?
Simplicity. But I think that each team has had sections of each game where, and maybe not so much the first, but even with that, our D zone was actually really good in the first, maybe better in the first game than it's been all series. We were there, but we weren't giving up a whole lot of outside shots. The team that can play as close to their game as possible, right, their identity game wins.
You talked about it being like Christmas. I know when I was a kid, it was pretty hard to sleep the night before Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
How do these guys keep the focus of being, playing the same way, which is what they've
right.
learned to do all season?
Well, it's a challenge. Yeah, it's so we defined our 3 days. They already know what we're doing tomorrow, and they know how we're approaching the game, and they've already heard the message about the pregame speech. In a lot of ways, is already begin given. We sectioned off our 3 days. We try to take as many unknowns away from them as possible. We'll fly at the same time. I know what I'm eating tomorrow night. So you do as many things in your routine as you possibly can. And the guys that have had a few more Christmases will sleep a little bit better. The guys that are closer to 5 years old will be up a little later.
Not a lot of people kind of anticipated, a series that was going to go 7 games. Do you, but the route to getting to 7 games,
yeah.
I think is, it may be different than what you think. Do you find that curious how you end up getting to the game 7?
If we look back at the 6, I would say game 2 would have been the game that I would have thought all 6 of them would have looked like. Right, the first one didn't, and then down 3 and come back and put up 7, 2-1, bounce in there 6-2, come back here 4-0. So the for you to write a story on the series, you got to write 6 different stories right now. And I would have said going into it, having watched all the games, you got to pick one of these games that's the series. I would have said it's game 2, double overtime, special teams real good on the power play side. Lots of action and pretty consistent sustained play straight through. I think we put up 50. I don't know, they had 35 or 40. So that would have been the game that I thought we would have seen.
So why do you think it's been so weird?
I don't know. Most times I'll tell you what I think. That 8:30 was the one thing that's changed that's clearly different than why the change in games? Why with home ice that you would lose it? I don't know. I mean, does that even make any sense? I might be 100% wrong. If at 8:30 same, you'd think it would favor the home team. They go home, stay in a routine. You would think that sitting around a hotel room for an extra hour and a half is never something that you want to do. So there would be a bunch of questions here today that I wouldn't have answers for, right? And some of them are the swings in the series, but it's certainly been exciting.
And one more why question, Paul. Why is there no momentum from one game to the next? If there was such a thing, you would have thought Winnipeg would have had it coming into game 6, and now Nashville has it. But
yeah, I'm not a big believer of that whole momentum thing in the playoffs, really. It changes every time the puck drops. Look at just go first and second periods, and there's your momentum for you. I mean, I watch in the summers, if you're not playing, watch all the finalists, the Stanley Cup finalists, all the games they played. You go back just to look at the run that Pittsburgh had last year. They're up 3-1 on Washington, lose 2 after winning game 7. They're up 3-2 on Ottawa, right? They go 7-7-6 to finish. It's not it's human nature, right? You win a game, you think, well, we just win them all now, and you lose, and you think you're never going to win another game ever, and that's the mood swings in playoffs. But everybody goes through it, every single team.
And just on the mood swing question, I mean, do you get the sense that anybody needs picking up today after last night, or are guys aware that, hey, we're one of five teams still playing hockey right now, and we got a one-off chance here?
Well, everybody came to the rink in a bad mood, right? And then you leave in a better mood. And then you stage your days. I mean, we didn't have a rah-rah, jack-em-up speech. The video wasn't the fine things that we did yesterday. But you try to build that emotional base to the game.
Paul, just, over here to your left. Can you maybe just give us a little insight into Connor Hellebuyck? And he's a young guy, but he seems to have that sort of fierce competitiveness, which is, I guess, really evident and necessary in a Game 7 situation.
We go back to when he first came on last year. He was kind of, in some ways, given the ball, so to speak, because we felt that he was the most talented of our options. We felt he had the talent to be a good player, to be a number one goaltender. And then he went through the year that our entire team went. There was nothing easy. We were beat up real bad all year. We chased an awful lot of games, so he saw an awful lot of dangerous shots. I think I pulled him five times over the course of the year. But he was always able to come back to the rink, even if he was angry about what happened, very determined in how he'd hit the ice the next day, right? He never lost his confidence, and I'm not talking, this is not about arrogance, never lost his confidence that he was going to be a real good goaltender. He wasn't happy with where he was at. Sometimes he wasn't happy with his play. A lot of times he wasn't happy with the result because he thought he was playing okay. But he has that internal confidence, which is so important in that position, because if you don't have it, a year last year might break you, or you have a game where you get pulled in the first round. Now that doesn't faze him. Right, so he's on to the next day. He's on to the next. He's learned how to. An important part of being a good pro is just turning that page, good and bad, and getting on to the next day.